Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaska is looking to hire a new fire chief, and Alaska has confirmed its first case of vaping-related illness. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Thursday, December 5th, 2019. For the fifth time in 5 years, Unalaska is looking to hire a new fire chief. Ramona Thompson was fired in October after about a year and a half leading the Department of Fire and Emergency Medical Services. Due to the fatal plane crash that month, as well as Thompson's own travel, KUCB couldn't reach her for an interview until this week.
Our current city manager, she pretty much said that she had determined that it was in the best interest of the community and the organization to terminate me without cost, and that's why I'm not working there anymore.
Thompson has more than 35 years of fire and EMS experience, and she previously worked as EMS coordinator for the Department of Public Safety, as well as director of clinical services for Alulik Family and Health Services. Asked why she thought city manager Aaron Reinders let her go, Thompson declined to comment.
You can maybe ask her and see what she says. I doubt that she gives you any more information than that, but at this particular moment, I'm going to leave it at that.
Reinders also declined to comment. She cited the confidentiality of staffing decisions.
That's a personnel issue and decision that I'm not going to comment on any further. I will say that we are looking for a new fire chief. Actually, we've got a bunch of really good applicants, so we're hoping to do interviews here in the next couple weeks.
This is the city's first recruiting effort since fire chief was reclassified as an executive-level position. Last December, the city council voted to restructure public safety and turn fire into its own standalone department after years of debate. Reinders says the change seems to have helped in attracting promising applicants.
I think it's twofold. I think one, it's that that ownership that you have over the whole department and the budget and operations. I think that's attractive, you know, for a chief-level position. The other thing, more recently, council approved some changes to Title III that bumped up the base pay range to adjust for cost of living that hadn't been done for quite some time.
Based on their qualifications, the next fire chief's salary will range from $93,000 to about $149,000, which marks a roughly 20% increase. Former Chief Thompson says she hopes the city picks an applicant with a strong vision and a willingness to learn from the department's current staffers, both paid and volunteer. And though she's retiring a few years sooner than expected, Thompson says she's looking forward to her next chapter in Unalaska.
I still want to give back to the community. I'm out for medical reasons right now. So when I come back, I hope I'm healthy enough to volunteer again in some capacity.
Meanwhile, Fire Captain Mike Hansen is serving as acting director of the department, which hasn't had a long-term leader since the early 2000s. The city is also working to fill vacancies for Unalaska's police chief and finance director, and we'll bring you updates on those positions next week. The state confirmed its first case of vaping-related illness this week. Up until now, Alaska was the only state in the country that had not reported any instances of e-cigarette or vaping-related lung injury. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
As of November 20th, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said more than 2,000 cases of vaping-related illnesses had been reported across the United States. At least 47 people have died. Fortunately, Alaska's first suspected case does not appear to be life-threatening. State epidemiologist Dr. Joe McLaughlin says the teenage male patient from Southeast is responding well to treatment.
This is a hard thing to have to go through, especially over the holidays. Fortunately, the patient is recovering steadily.
He says the patient was admitted to the hospital on Thanksgiving Day after experiencing shortness of breath and chest pain that grew worse over several weeks. To protect the patient's privacy, state officials would not confirm where they were first admitted, but McLaughlin says he's being treated out of state. The teen apparently vaped nicotine products for several years and THC products for at least 2 to 3 months before the symptoms began.
The patient reported that the THC products came from a source outside of Alaska, and that's the extent of the information we have.
He says they plan to send some of the product the teenager was using to the CDC for further testing. People who have died from vaping-related illness tend to be middle-aged or older, but much of the national coverage has focused on the large number of teenagers getting sick after using e-cigarettes and vaping products.
It's something that we're definitely seeing on the national level, that most of the cases are in teenagers and young adults, and it's unclear whether that is a representation of the amount of use or the type of product that's being used by people in those demographics.
It's not clear why people are getting sick, but the CDC recently identified vitamin E acetate, a substance used in some THC products, as a potential concern. For now, the CDC is recommending that people stop using e-cigarette or vaping products, especially if they contain THC.
The only way to assure that you're not at risk while the investigation continues is to consider refraining from the use of all e-cigarette or vaping products.
McLaughlin says there aren't any other suspected cases of vaping-related illnesses being investigated in Alaska right now. But healthcare providers should be on the lookout and report any suspected cases to the Alaska Section of Epidemiology. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Unalaska Community Broadcasting has covered local and regional news for the past 20 years. And to mark that anniversary, KUCB has spent every Thursday of 2019 looking through the past work of our reporters and resharing some of their stories. This month marks the final installment of the series, and we're focusing on Laura Craigle, who's been with the radio station since 2016. She was interviewed by former KUCB reporter Zoe Sobel, who asked her about coming to Unalaska after working at the station in Nome.
I wrapped up work at KNOM on a Thursday. I filed my last story on caribou hunting and all these new regulations that were kind of causing some controversy up in the Northwest Arctic about caribou. And then I got on a plane, and by Monday I was at KUCB and starting the new job and learning less about caribou and more about pollock and the types of work and reporting I was going to be doing here. So it happened pretty quick. And it was about 3.5 years ago.
So from working with you, Laura, I know that you have a really big focus on local news. Over the past 6 months, 1 year, Unalaska has seen a lot of really big stories, from the accident on Ballyhoo to the plane crash. There's just been a lot of kind of heartbreaking news in a very small community. How do you handle having to work on that?
It's definitely been talking to people in the community. I think everybody has been feeling like it's been kind of a rough go of it lately. And that people, you know, I think are looking forward to the holidays a little bit and maybe having a break, because it's been a lot of hard stories, one right after the other. And not that they're hard stories, it's that they're hard experiences that the community is going through and that everybody's feeling kind of on some level or another. So from the radio station's perspective and from the news perspective, it's been really busy. It's been pretty exhausting at times. But as tricky as it sometimes is to kind of keep tackling, you know, stories that we would rather not ever have to do, it's a time when I feel really happy to have my job in sort of a strange way. I feel really happy and really proud when KUCB can help answer questions that people have, when we can provide some of the latest information on a terrible crash or a strange court or crime situation that is important but is maybe a little labyrinthine, or on the other hand, in the case perhaps of this plane crash, when people have a lot of questions and unfortunately I can't answer them, but we can keep calling Raven, we can keep calling Alaska Airlines, and I've been communicating with their PR people quite a bit, trying to emphasize how important the situation is to the community, how many people it's affecting, and trying to get them to agree to an interview. And it hasn't happened yet, but I'm glad that we're just one more entity who's trying to get them information that they need as they are making decisions about their medical issues or about traveling to see family or when they're going to be able to go do X work trip. There are times when I'm updating stories to KUCB's website and there will be hundreds of people on it, and it's kind of scary almost. But it also is something where I'm like, okay, it's a motivation to tackle the things that are hard because they matter. Those are situations where we're really happy to be the community radio station and to do as much as we can.
Yeah, so I'm just curious, outside of those stories that you really have no choice to cover, what types of stories were your favorite?
The first things that really do come to mind are less individual stories, but more kind of the beats that I get to cover. City council, the school board, covering elections, covering what is pretty frequent turnover at the city and in leadership roles, community leadership roles. I definitely have the kind of standalone stories that I've really enjoyed reporting. I got to cover the 20th anniversary of Camp Kanayu, which was so much fun, getting to do fish cutting sounds and what is the significance of a seal harvest. But the big things that I think stick out in my head are definitely the sort of semi-odyssey of what the city wants to do with the Department of Public Safety and the fire department, or when we've had city managers come and go trying to get answers as to why this person is leaving or why the exit is contentious, covering Dave Martinson to Thomas E. Thomas. I really enjoy sticking with those things and kind of just track them bit by bit over time. And the stories aren't necessarily ever going to be gorgeous sound pieces, but I take a lot of pride and a lot of satisfaction out of going to the city council meetings and seeing how the council is going to vote on this issue today and how it's going to track in 6 months. And then when the budget comes out, how it's going to be funded and kind of following these issues kind of through as many as a couple of years.
What are your hopes for the future of the station now and beyond your time there?
The dream would be that KUCB has more reporters. I think that this community and the amount of news that happens here and the amount of news that people want, I think this community could easily have enough work for a third reporter, for a fourth reporter even. I guess I don't know what the outlook on that is, and we talk about budget constraints and we talk about limited resources, and those things are all very real and we're already dealing with them now, but there's so much more that we want to be doing all the time. Stories that we're not getting to, stories that we are getting to, but that we know could have more depth and more meat to them. We want to do it. We really, really do. So my long-term hope for KUCB would definitely be to sustain the good work that I think is happening, but also to look for opportunities to improve our coverage, to increase its scope, and to get at things with always more depth.
Do you have anything else to say? Or was I such a good interviewer that we covered everything?
You are a very good interviewer, but I would like to remind the listeners that they should tip us. They should send us news ideas. And I was thinking about this recently because someone came up to me and was just like, hey, I've heard, you know, about something that I think is newsworthy, and I haven't seen anything from KUCB. Like, what's the deal? Which is a very fair question. And the answer, I think, a lot of the times is that we don't necessarily know that this newsworthy thing is happening or has happened. And people have a lot of very kind confidence that we're very aware, I think, of a lot of things that oftentimes we're not. This community, as anybody knows if they live here for 5 minutes, is so busy. People are doing all sorts of things. There are a million projects. There are a million organizations. And there's always a ton of things going on. And we will never know it all. So if you're wondering why you haven't heard something on this topic that you think matters, please don't assume that it's because we don't think it's important. Please reach out and let us know about it. We've talked about, you know, all the things that we want to do to improve our coverage, but another big part is not just us getting better or us having more time or us having more people, but it's having engagement from the community to point us in the directions that we're not seeing. So, final plug. Keep in mind that KUCB is your community radio station, and that the way that we'll continue to grow it and make it better is through your participation.
That was Laura Craigle, the 12th reporter in the history of Unalaska Community Broadcasting. Join us each Thursday for the rest of the month when we'll re-air some of her past stories as part of our year-long series celebrating the 20th anniversary of KUCB's newsroom. and taking a look at upcoming events, tonight the Unalaska Visitors Bureau is hosting a community meeting to discuss the impacts to air service following October's fatal plane crash. The meeting will run from 6 o'clock till 8 at the public library. Then holiday celebrations kick off with the Community Center's Gingerbread House Contest. Edible creations must be dropped off by tomorrow so they can be viewed during the Holiday Bazaar on Saturday afternoon. That'll start at 1 o'clock and include food, crafts, and photo opportunities. Also on Saturday are the annual 5K Santa Fun Run and Moonlight Madness Sale. Check-in for the run opens at 2:30 at the Community Center, while the craft sale starts Saturday night at 6 o'clock at the Grand Aleutian Hotel. You can find more details on the weekend's events by visiting KUCB's community calendar at kucb.org. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.